Around Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
From the 916, I love Malik Monk. I hope he's a king forever. But ultimately, this has to be looked at objectively. What's best to bring the most wins for the Kings? Both sides need to bring charts and graphs, make their case, and whatever makes the most sense towards winning basketball needs to be done. That is from Devin, the dude. And that is...
whoever's got the best charts gets the better contract.
Yes, yes. And I, you know what? I would be terrible at that. I hated PowerPoints. Yeah. I hated PowerPoints.
I'm nice with PowerPoints.
Okay.
I am nice with PowerPoints.
Did people still do PowerPoints? Or is it Google Slides now?
It's probably a lot of Google Slides for If you got to work on it,
it's called PowerPoint though. It's like
it's like Kleenex.
Yeah. It's like a frisbee. Yeah, frisbee. They're not called frisbees.
Yeah. All right. Well, get your PowerPoints ready.
Right.
Whether or not you think Malik Monk should start for the Kings, 916-339-1140, and is that even the hottest part of this article? No. Okay. Chris has something that is even, I would say, bigger than the negotiations as far as starting or not. It really matters how the team finishes this season.
Yeah. So here's the, this is actually how Anthony Slater ends the article here. So this is from Mike Brown and from Malik Monk. This is from Mike Brown. He's extremely important to what we're trying to build, Brown said. There's zero question in my head. We're 100%. We 100% want him back. He's the player he is mainly because of him. That's an interesting sentence. Mm-hmm. But I also feel that you have to be in situations that can help get the most out of you. And I feel this situation, he has that here. The sky is the limit. We're only going to get better. And he had a lot to do with the growth of this franchise. Monk made it clear his desire to return, but he's experienced the business side of the league and the unpredictable variables that remain at play. Before any choices are made, he's trying to cap off this season with an individual award and a playoff run. This is what Malik Monk had to say about him returning to Sacramento. Depends on what we do in the postseason as well, Monk said. But I'd love to be here, man. Got comfortable here, made a lot of new friends, met a lot of great people. The city loves me. I love the city. So, yeah, I'd love to come back.
So stay out of the play-in.
Stay out of the play-in is exactly, and don't get swept. Don't get swept. You really just have to give a little shred of, hey, this wasn't like a complete flatlining at the end of the season, mm-hmm. really. It's just like, make Malik feel like we're still building towards something. With all the ups and downs of this year, if they end on getting swept or losing in the play-in, that's not going to leave a good taste in your mouth, and that's going to make Malik question, do I want to be here? And I think getting, you know, even if you get two wins in the postseason, just building some momentum and not being embarrassed and feeling like, you know, we fought. We had a chance in that series. You can talk yourself into maybe winning the series. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing that when Malik goes to the offseason, he's going to say, you know, this has been a good 2 years. In the long run, this has been a good 2 years. And, you know, there's a lot of things that didn't go in our favor last year. If we could have just, you know, if Keegan could have shot 40%, if Kevin, you know, could have shot better this season, who knows how it could have gone.
Dude starting over me. Two guys starting over me.
Hey, you know, we can figure that. It's just about the initial feelings mm-hmm. right now. It's just about the not wanting to question what the other side looks like. That's what I'm reading out of it is don't let Malik Monk question what's on the other side.
You have the Orlando Magic that we mentioned,
yep.
and they are currently the 5 seed, okay, in the East, but they are the 5 seed. So if you end the way you ended last season, or let's say you don't even get to game 7, right? You lose in the first round again. If I am Malik Monk, as much as I love Sacramento, if you're not offering me a starting spot, I can go be on the bench and get a bag for a team that I believe is more of a contender.
Sure.
Or start for a team that's ascending. I can go start for the Spurs and probably be in the play-in next season.
Yeah. maybe you can maybe be in the play-in.
I'm saying the Spurs will make other moves besides just adding Malik.
What are the good like championship contender teams do you think Malik could start on? That's where it gets more difficult. Do you think Malik could start on, if they could afford him, I don't know, the Bucks?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's what came to mind immediately. Maybe the Sixers next year with Embiid back.
Sixers have money too.
I like the Sixers.
What about Celtics? Do they have any sort of?
They don't. Celtics don't need anything.
Yeah, they don't have money.
Don't need anything. You could make the argument that the Knicks, to be completely honest with you, offensively they need help. Defensively, they're solid.
Sure.
Right? Offensively, they need some help.
There's only seven teams next year who are probably going to have enough cap space to sign Malik. It is the San Antonio Spurs. They're projected to have $62 million worth of cap space. The Magic, we've talked about those two teams. He's not going back to Charlotte.
No.
Utah is a team that has $48 million in cap space.
I'd rather stay in Sacramento.
Detroit. Detroit has in the Pistons. That's not happening.
Yeah. I thought the way you looked at me, I thought you meant it could happen.
No.
Yeah.
Washington Wizards. Can you happen?
I want that three guy lineup.
Kuzma, Monk, and Poole.
I
need league pass for that.
And then the 76ers have $32 million.
So it's the same three teams we spoke about months ago.
Yeah.
Sixers, Magic, and Spurs.
Yep.
You don't think Monk would go to one of those quote-unquote trash teams if he just got paid out?
I mean, anything is possible.
I think the best chance is just like the Spurs offer. Like the most the Kings can offer Monk is like 17.4 in his first year, all the way up to 21 mil, so like a 4-year, just under $80 million. If the Spurs offer him $25 million a year to be their starting point guard,
it was a good run.
I mean, you know, like how much can, what can you really do about that?
25 mil as opposed to the Kings, what was that?
It would start at 17 and get as high as 21.
And no tax in Texas.
And the Riverwalk. With Wemby. And the Riverwalk.
And
here
Wemby.
It's lovely.
At that point,
that's where you
can't do anything about
you
that.
Can do.
The only thing you can do there is maybe
guarantee a starting spot, maybe.
Well, I was going to say second round. That's already Chris.
Sure.
You have to do, in my opinion, you have to do that if you're Sacramento.
I don't think you have to.
If you lose in the first round, you have to. How about that? If you get into the play-in, and if you lose in the first round or worse, you have to.
We'll see how the rest of this Keon situation goes.
You have to.
I think if Keon looks really good in the starting lineup, you could convince him again that I think this is the way we're going to go. But again, your role is, if anything, you're solidified even more so in the closing lineup.
I'm going to be a sixth man again for a team. Do you feel Malik has to feel, if he's going to stay in Sacramento as a sixth man, that they can contend for a championship?
Yeah. Or are on their way to. Depends how much he believes in Malik. Or I know Malik believes in Malik. It depends how much he believes in Keegan. How much he believes in Keegan's development. How much he believes in his best friend, De'Aaron Fox. I'm pretty sure he's got a really good relationship with Domantas Sabonis. How much he loves Mike Brown. I mean, that's a faith argument at that point. I mean,
does faith pay bills?
It could. I mean, if you have faith that your team is going to become, you know, Malik's the most, you know, superstar ready guy on this team. You know, maybe you could argue De'Aaron, but in terms of personality, Malik jumps off the page. If the Kings are perennially a second or third round team, Malik's star is going to rise a lot more. And if he's the starting point guard for the Spurs, and maybe it works out, but maybe he's just, you know,
with
in
Pop,
a starting
we didn't even say with Pop.
Yeah, you know, what
with
is
Pop?
I love Pop, but like, what is Pop as a coach these days? You know, he's just kind of letting his team fly right now.
Well, he had to this
we'll
season.
I mean, I have no idea what they're going to look like next season. I just think that you might want to bank on what you have experienced and what you know versus, this is a risk. It could be a calculated risk that might pay off. But also, Malik has talked a lot, especially this year, and I think he talks about a lot in this Anthony Slater article. He's had a rough career. And, he's just now getting, reestablished. Do you want to roll the dice again, or do you want to take with what you know in the place that gave you a chance initially, and you can feel comfortable?
Chris, if you're trying to tell me, and I love Ellis Island, but if you're trying to tell me that I'm now on the bench or I'm still the sixth man, you're going to pay me good money, but I got to be sixth man because Keon Ellis balled out, I start feeling like it's always going to be somebody else.
I mean, Keon Ellis is making like three. Like, I just mean, like, if you're Malik, like, you know what
he
the
better
you
ball
know
out.
That you're going to get a lot of more minutes over Keon. Like, you're always going to be the choice over Keon.
It's just a a weird predicament of on this specific. That's what I'm saying. This isn't Manu with the Spurs. This isn't a championship
level team.
Mike Brown's
trying to make it that way.
They're all trying to make it that way.
No, I mean, like, he's trying to convince Malik that he is the Manu to this team.
And to your point, you have to believe that these guys are going to get better.
Yeah.
From the 209, stop putting this into the universe. Are you trying to jinx our team?
No.
If Monk leaves, I'm blaming you. Don't blame us, 209. Blame Malik Monk, because if you're just now joining us, we are simply reading Anthony Slater's article for The Athletic where Malik Monk was asked.
Yep.
He was asked about starting, and he was asked about the future, and all we're doing is reading the quotes. Reading the quotes. Let's get to Will right after we return from paying some bills. We will also discuss the Raptors and the Six as the Kings try to get a W out there in Toronto. And Hannibal Buress, you have chances to win tickets to Hannibal Buress in about 45 minutes. And I think it's my turn to pick the numbers.
It's my turn.
No, you talk now. It's my turn. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Your chance to win tickets to see Hannibal Buress, thanks to Live Nation, who has teamed up with Sacktown Sports, keeping the conversation going. There is a new article out by Anthony Slater, who does great work. Anthony and I go way back. And it's all about the King of Kings, Malik Monk, the most exciting player on the Kings, as far as I'm concerned. If you, and like I said, I went to the Knicks game as a fan with my friends from the Bay Area, and it's all about Malik, right?
Oh, yeah.
When you watch a Kings game with somebody who doesn't follow the Kings, the first person that catches their eye is Malik Monk.
Yeah. I mean, everything is so spectacular with him. That's why, I mean, he's trying to cross everybody over every time he touches the ball. He's got the threes. He's got, especially in that Knicks game, he had like 12 dunks or whatever it felt like. All of them kept getting better and better. He had dunks that didn't even count that he would just do at timeout breaks. Mm-hmm. I think he's quickly become the favorite of the Kings. Like, I think everyone knows De'Aaron Domas, best players, and the team goes as far as those guys take them, but in terms of just sheer getting your dollar worth of entertainment, Malik Monk every single time pays off. Even when he's not having his greatest games, I mean, he's still able to play make. He's still able to have some exciting, crazy highlight. He hasn't had a crazy block in a while, but there's been times this year where he'll block like the tallest guy on the floor. I know it's taken up by Dominique, and he deserves it, but he really is a human highlight reel.
No, he is, and I don't know if this is – I saw this on Twitter, so of course it has to be true. I saw somebody comment when Malik did that one of those dunks last game that he clocked in at a 44-inch vert.
Really?
I have to confirm that, but
it
wouldn't surprise me because it looks like he's just
stupid
floating up there. 916-339-1140. Let's get to our guys, Will and TC. Will – is up first. What you got for us, Will?
What's up, Styles and Watkins, man? Look, hey, Watkins, hey, look, I had to go on YouTube to see if I could find a video of you guys, man, and I was impressed. And look, Styles, man, you surprised me, man. I mean, I thought you were from the Ivy League or somewhere, but your voice, you know, you cool, your voice. you don't sound like you look, bro. You good, man. But here's the thing. Malik, it's not about being sentimental, man. The dude, he's the best player. He's the most exciting player on the team. No doubt about it. I'm not saying he's better than De'Aaron, but the guy's exciting. Everybody loves this guy. And then look at Keon. Keon, you see right now, Keon should have been playing a long time ago. This guy is fierce. He don't like to get beat. I mean, you see his eyes. He's focused. But it's not being sentimental, man. If he get offered a bag by the Spurs, you telling me he should stay with the Kings? All that sentimental stuff, that's crazy. Look, Wemby, the Spurs almost beat us without Wemby. They almost beat us. They got an up-and-coming squad that's going to be awesome. If Malik, if they offer him a bag to go play with the Spurs and he from Arkansas, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I thanks for the call, Will. I mean, you'd really have no choice, right? You said 17 versus 25 million, yeah, and no
or
tax.
Whatever. Yeah.
Come on. What are we talking about?
And Wemby, and you get like all the hype of, oh my God, Wemby's finally got a good point guard.
Exactly. So
all the highlights they could have.
That deal, fine. I think it's the ones that are closer.
Yeah.
Would Malik Monk rather get paid 17 for the Sixers and come off the bench?
Right.
Or start?
Or start, yeah.
Or go back to Sacramento where maybe you start. I guess the conversation is that, hey, if we think this makes the most sense, then would you be willing to still come off the bench?
Yeah.
You're reigning sixth man of the year. I do not see, I'm just telling you right now, these guys, and ego has a negative connotation, but they're just very confident. They believe in themselves.
Absolutely.
That's why they're there.
That's why they're there. Exactly.
Why would anybody that is 26 years old doing what Malik is doing on a team that is fighting to stay out of the play-in, why would that person think that they should be Manu Ginobili or the book is out on who they are as a player?
Exactly.
It's too early to make that decision, and I don't think he's gonna let the Kings make that decision. I think he's going to go in, and his agent ain't going to let him.
Right.
His agent is not going to let him. How many opportunities? You said it, Chris, and you said he's been through a lot on one end.
Yeah.
You could flip that the other way to say he has been through a lot. So you got to cash in now because we know how quickly things can change. Let's get to TC, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, TC? What you got for us?
Hey, what's up, Styles? Watkins, what's going on, bros?
Not much,
You know how it is.
You already know. Yeah, I tapped in with you last night, though. You probably seen me in the chat last night. That was me, man.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, thanks for tuning in, man.
What's up, bro?
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Hey, but look, Chris, Alan, so what I got is from that situation, I've been saying Monk is going to sign back. To be honest with you, Monk is going to sign back because everybody can't forget, this summer is going to be the big move where we move off of Kevin Huerter. Or move Kevin Huerter to the bench and Monk be the starter. We're not going to try to play Vivek, Monty, and Mike's not going to play that game. I think you don't want to ruffle any feathers now. Like, all right, Monk, you're the starter because you're playing so good. I think they got a plan, bro. The plan is for Monk to start next year and give him a contract, bro, and say, look, finish what you're doing this year, bro, but you're going to be the starter moving forward. And we just got to figure out what we're going to do with Kevin Huerter, if we're going to move him or if we're going to keep him. And Keon is going to take your spot. That's where that's going to come from, bro.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Thanks for the call, TC. And that makes sense. The only thing I would argue is, are you not doing that now simply because you're in the midst of a playoff run and you're worried about shaking stuff up? Because you could essentially get a free sample of that now and start the...
That's my question with all of this is, like, why are we so certain that next year he's like, it's just going to be thrown in the contract negotiations that he's going to start? Like, it makes a lot more sense to me to say exactly what you're saying. It would have made a lot more sense to start him this year and say, oh, like, so you can walk into negotiations and say, look, we started you. And, you know, then you can bench him any time after because you already got him to sign on the dotted line. I don't think Mike Brown's going to change his mind over an offseason. I think that they know what the situation is, and I don't think that they're going to deviate from that plan. We can go back and look at over summer, me and Whitey did our predictions. I said Malik Monk was going to start over half the games this year for that exact reason. I thought if the Kings were going to walk into that negotiation table and try and get Malik to be convinced that this was the right situation, I would have thought that they would have had to tell him, you are going to start. I think after this season, the message has been delivered millions of times. Malik Monk is not going to start with this current crop of guys.
Right.
And maybe TC's argument is it's not going to be this current crop of guys next year.
That's my argument too, but I'll also say this, and you know, obviously it's on the record because I'm saying it on the air, but look, let's not pretend like there have not been situations, whether players have said it or whether people have said it, that decision might not be Coach Mike Brown's to some degree. If this negotiation is happening and they sign Malik to a certain amount of money, it might be, hey, coach, you're going to start Malik, okay? We've heard it happen before. Mm-hmm. We've heard about, oh, a potential trade is coming, so we're going to leave a guy in the lineup. So why couldn't it be, okay, we got to sign this guy? He's going to have to be a part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think it will all take care of itself based on some of the moves TC is talking about. But I get what you're saying as presently constructed, why they wouldn't make the move. But it does also make sense to say if that person that they are planning on moving ain't playing, why not start it now? And give Malik a feeling of, wow, this could really happen for me.
Sure.
So it doesn't really make sense to me.
I would say it's probably the playoff thing. I would think at this point it's too late.
And we don't know what conversations are happening behind the scenes either.
No, absolutely. And none of them are, because that'd be illegal.
Right. You cannot tamper.
No. There's a legal tampering period, which I don't know how that's possible. But No conversations are being had.
Coming up next, it is time.
They would never.
The Kings Roundtable. Let's let Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli get in on this conversation, and we're going to hold their feet to the fire. No fence sitting here on Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Joined by two of the hardest working men in Kings Media, Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes. Guys, thank you for joining us.
If you can beam it, you can dream it.
If you can beam it,
oh gosh,
you can dream it. No, it was, that's what you said. I said,
no, that's what you said.
No, I said, beam up, dream up.
Oh, that's right. Beam up, dream up. That's right.
Beam up, dream up.
Good to be here. You know, been looking at your guys' work the past couple days. The We Want the Monk. I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I've shared that with my family.
Sweeping the nation.
It's been a great week for the brand.
They're also very on board with We Want the Monk. Mm-hmm. I think that that's something that could definitely catch on. I'm not sure.
Did you hear the update?
No.
It's in motion. They're having a meeting about it.
Yes. Wow.
Dave called it in. Yes. Yeah.
Dave phoned it in.
Dave phoned it in.
Yeah. It's happening.
Yeah. So
it feels like it's happening.
he's
awful quiet over here. I feel like he's not feeling it.
I think it's fine.
But you do like the hum diddly.
I mean, I've grown to like that. I think it's very funny, but I like it's what you guys got going on.
It's funny, but it doesn't.
It's cute what you guys got going on.
Right, but that's the whole thing, though. I think the Espiritu Santo is funny, but it doesn't. It's playoff time, baby.
You want to be upbeat. You want to get pumped up.
Exactly. We are trying to celebrate, and hopefully we will celebrate tonight. But before we get to tonight's game and the insiders breaking everything down, guys, we've been breaking down the Anthony Slater article with Malik Monk and about Malik Monk. And Chris and I have been going back and forth on what it would take to keep Malik Monk out here and what he had to say, Malik, about not just the starting and wanting to start or not liking coming off the bench, but he's also mentioned that it's important that the Kings have a healthy playoff run. Now, I don't know what a good playoff run means. Is that last season, right? Things are relative, but what is your percentage on how you feel? What percentage do you think, or what percentage do you have for a confidence meter as far as Malik coming back? Are you at 80%, 90%, 95%? Where are you at?
I'm probably like 70-30, with 70 that he stays is roughly where I'm at. I think there is a sense of comfortability, whether that be with, you know, De'Aaron Fox or, like Slater mentions, golfing with Kevin Herter and Keegan Murray, or the relationship with Mike Brown, that clearly there's a level of transparency and honesty there that I think is really good. And, you know, I think he's in a spot where he's been able to excel. Now, the Lakers are the one that really kind of gave him that opportunity, to be honest, after right. Charlotte, but it's been on another level in Sacramento, and just the amount of trust they've given him as a playmaker. And I think the money is about right. I think there's a world where they don't even need to get to the 40 or 78. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a really tough time gauging. It's a wide range in my mind of what Malik could get, and whether that's Orlando that makes you do it, or I realized recently Toronto has some money, and they're a team that's been known to have been interested in Malik before. They wanted him in any Pascal's conversations, for example. So it's very dependent on what are the teams with money going to do? What mm-hmm. direction do they want to look? Because I think there's a wide range for Malik, but I'd go about 70-30. Leaning towards him staying.
And that 30 is basically if somebody's going to overpay. Chris and I were throwing out the Spurs. And if somebody comes with 25 mil a year, all right.
Right.
What do you want us to do? But if teams stay in that range, you're essentially at 70%. What do you think, Frankie?
I'm in a similar range. I'm probably more 70, like 75, 25, 80, 20. I feel very confident he's going to stay. And I kind of look at what Brendan's pointing out as well. The rest of the market, there's some notable free agents that are going to be out there as well. I mean, Tobias Harris could be out there, James Harden, Klay Thompson, Gordon Hayward, DeMar DeRozan, Buddy Hield, old friend. You have to wonder how many teams are going to prioritize other free agents ahead of Malik Monk, whereas the Kings are going to make him their top priority. Mm-hmm. Like I have little doubt. And I think for all the reasons he pointed out as well, as far as the De'Aaron Fox aspect, the fact that he pointed out how he likes to be in a smaller city, not a top market like L.A. or where he played before, but I think he just works well for this team, and they're going to prioritize him. And if it's about starting, I don't know. That's a whole different conversation. But is that just kind of like the natural progression of his career? Like we've seen other players go through that were bench players. Jordan Clarkson's kind of gone back and forth between sixth man of the year and starter.
We read off all the six men, and it's interesting how some of them made that jump, and some of them, well, between Jamal Crawford and Lou Williams, they had about seven of the last 15 awards. But besides those guys, you got the James Hardens, you got certain dudes that make the jump and certain dudes that, hey, that's my thing.
That's who they are. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, like, Malik Monk's going to be the sixth man of the year, but mm-hmm. is that who he's going to be for the next 10 years or 10 years? He's only 26. Like, mm-hmm. if that's what it takes to have him stick around, if that's a sticking point, I don't see why not. And again, like, I think we've talked about this so much as far as being on the floor late in games is more important than starting. That's Mike Brown's philosophy. That's my philosophy. That's why we all view it, I think, the same way. Malik Monk's on the floor in crunch time every night. And if it's that important to him to start, I don't know if that's going to be a sticking point, but I think there's going to be a change of a starting lineup no matter what. I think there has to be if the Kings don't make a deep run. You have to change things up. They're already probably going to be different because of Kevin Huerter's injury. Who knows how long that's going to go, but I'm pretty confident he's going to stay. I think it makes too much sense. It works so well. He's loved here by the community and the fans, and I think the Kings will get it done.
How do you feel about the deep postseason run that he refers to? I guess he doesn't necessarily say deep. He's just asked, what more do you want to see from this team? And he said, you know, it just depends on what we do in the postseason. For you, what would be deep enough to have Malik? I just kind of phrased it in the last segment. Like, I think really it's about having Malik not even think about what's on the other side. So what do you think is good enough to have Malik, or I guess the opposite, what do you think is that line of, hey, I would like the Kings to at least get to this point for me to feel more comfortable about joining this situation than maybe rolling the dice with San Antonio, or maybe even just opting into a similar situation, but with the Sixers?
Yeah, I mean, I think a competitive first round is right. really where I'm at. I think that not getting knocked in the play-in or really just getting smacked in the first round. Like, I think if you are competitive in that, and obviously anything past it is a nice cherry on top right. that I'm sure would do plenty to convince Malik in that aspect specifically. But I think it's really just a competitive first round.
And that's kind of this year, we've talked about this. Like what determines a winning season or a losing season or a successful season or failure season? I don't know if you guys have changed at all. I still think that a competitive first round to me is enough to say, okay, that's not maybe not for progression as far as advancing, but it's for progression as far as this group is continuing to compete. They're getting there to the playoffs. They made it. Like, they're not going to be in the play-in, hopefully. Like, if they're in the play-in and they have a quick exit, that to me is a step back. But yeah. If you make the first round, you go six with Minnesota or something like that. I can't sit here and say, wow, what a failure of a season. You know, you play the best of the best and you fall short. But I am interested to see how he views that. Like, what to him is a successful end of a season? Like, is it making the first round again, or is it, you know, going to the second round? I think as a competitor, a lot of these guys want to go further than they went last year. They went to game seven in the first round. Right. I think it's natural to say, well, we went there last year. Second round is the goal. But the West is just so much different than last year. It really is so much different.
Yeah, ultimately, as far as moving forward and progressing as a team, the question is, can they go to Malik and say, hey, let's say they lose in the first round. Hey, Malik, we're going to level with you. You're probably still going to be a sixth man, but the people and the team that we're going to put around you, you're still going to be a foundational piece, and you're going to be a sixth man for a team that we're going to build that can contend, right? I think trying to convince Malik that he's going to be a starter a bench player with this starting lineup, he's probably going to say, sure, I'd rather just take a chance somewhere else and get paid. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get it done quickly, but it's almost as if possible, you have a couple other deals that happen before Malik to say, this is your piece. If they go out and get some of the names that we've said in the past and they say, look at what we're building, you are the missing piece. You're our priority, but we wanted to show you what we're going to build around you, De'Aaron and Sabonis. Then you have something. I think that's going to be the chicken or egg, because if you sign him first and now he's locked in, cool. So maybe it's in the air. You start maybe based on who else we sign or who we don't sign, but I don't think he's going to want to come off the bench if the starting lineup is what it currently is set at right now. When we return, talking about injuries, the Kevin Huerter injuries, getting the guys' thoughts on that. Also, the Keon hype, is it too much or just enough? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Here with the Sacktown Sports Kings insiders, Brendan Nunes, Frankie Cardicelli, talking all things Kings, talking all things Malik Monk. Both very confident Malik Monk will be a King for the foreseeable future. But we got summer to talk about that as we discuss Anthony Slater's article on The Athletic about Malik Monk and everything he's got going with the Kings. Very important for Malik and this team to have a nice, deep playoff run. But what does that mean? I guess we'll find out in the summer. Also, 15 minutes, your chance to win tickets to see Hannibal Buress at the historic Crest Theater in downtown Sacramento, March 22nd. I said that I would pick the number, but if you got the insiders in here, one of them has to pick the number. Exactly. So I think it was Frankie last time. It's Brendan's turn. So Brendan will pick the lucky number for your chance to see Hannibal Buress Friday. If you don't have plans, it's going to be a little bit rainy on Friday, so you can get on in there, get a nice beverage, and enjoy some comedy. All right, guys, the injury to Kevin Huerter. Can you explain to the good people how you're understanding it? I know that we're seeing left shoulder dislocation. Is it essentially just that? Any idea on how long he'll be out? What are the expectations?
Yeah, Frankie and I, for the audio crowd here, are kind of laughing a little bit while you're asking this because we don't have much clarity on, unless you have anything new, Frank.
Isn't your dad he's the chiropractor?
My stepdad to be fair, like, because we're looking at it and we're like, now this looks like a wrist injury, you know, he's laying there at the broadcast, you see kind of bumps, they put a towel over it at one point, it's very red. For what it's worth, I had my stepdad at the game. It's a chiropractor. I show him the injury without any context. Mm-hmm. They had already labeled it a shoulder injury. He said right away there's like this inward rotation that made him think shoulder. And that's what it ends up getting labeled as. And a lot of people are saying, you know, that when typically you get a shoulder injury, which you could feel throughout your entire arm as it's happening, you'll end up kind of holding your arm to help stabilize that shoulder. So that's what we got right now. But we don't have any sort of timeline. Gross. It really was just him getting listed as out for today's game.
It varies. Like, I did some research yesterday, and there's been a bunch of players like DeLon Wright, Myers Leonard, I think Julius Randle right now is still going through it, and every timeline's been different. Julius Randle had a dislocated shoulder in January. Mm-hmm. He's still trying to work his way back, and I read that he's not even – it's not even a sure thing he's going to come back this season. He's having a tough time. DeLon Wright came back after 3 weeks. Myers Leonard, 2 weeks. It's different. We just don't know what the official update is, if there was anything like ligaments or anything that was torn, like labrum. Like, there's so many things in the shoulder that come into play, and we haven't gotten an official release or update from the Kings yet, so – there's no timeline. I would imagine he misses some time. Mm-hmm. I mean, every one of those injuries I just labeled, even Steph Curry, I think last season had a dislocated shoulder. He missed 3 weeks. At the very least, I would imagine a couple weeks. But again, we don't know for sure. But it's going to mean other guys have to step up. And for a Kings team that's already pretty thin right now, they're missing Trey Lyles, missing Kevin Huerter. Sasha Vezenkov is questionable. He might play tonight. We'll see with if the back-to-back changes things. But they need everyone to step up right now. And Mike Brown's a big next man up guy. And we've already seen that Keon Ellis will probably start, and you see guys like Chris Duarte will fill in. But I think that it's a loss. I think that with Kevin Huerter, I know he struggled, and the defensive lapses are there, and I think he's gotten a lot of criticism this year for the shortcomings. But we can't deny that when he's on offensively, he's a weapon for this Kings team. He was a huge reason why the Kings have been successful over the past year plus. And if anything, having him as depth and having him as a player that's been there before with experience and has that kind of veteran presence and that three-point presence in a floor-spacing offense, it's going to be a loss if they lose him for the year, but not going to go that far yet. We'll see if he can come back in time for the postseason and if the Kings can weather that that absence.
I wonder, too, like, the thing that makes me fearful about his return is, like, how much of it is going to be the mental side, too, because he got hurt on, like, the most routine, basic play I've ever seen. Like, people get... That same exact scenario of somebody slapping down at the ball happens 10 times a game, maybe, seriously. And I just can't imagine it's going to be quick for Kevin to drive the lane and then go up with any amount of confidence for some time. Because I can just imagine every time you're going in there, you're going to go in a little hesitant. And then once you get over that, you're still not going to go up with the same amount of confidence that you were going up with before. So I wonder, I mean... just the mental aspect of it all, like, it just, I mean, I can't imagine getting hurt on something so routine, just what that ends up doing to you. It's got to be terrible. It's just got to be a mess.
Well, and a big aspect of his game is being in good shape, and it's just a shoulder injury, but, you know, everybody says you can't replicate game reps. Right. Say he misses 10 of these last, what do we have, 15 games, something right in that
14,
range.
I think.
He comes back with... say five left or something, and just throwing out a hypothetical timeline-wise, but that does not give you much time to get comfortable with plays like that or get back in typical game shape if there is any needed process for that and just kind of getting your confidence rolling with this group. You know, it's – I don't know. I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
I might be surprised to even see him start, like, in the postseason if he comes back.
I don't see how he could.
Well, right.
And that happened, like, back in – and this is not the 02 Kings. These are not the 2002 Kings. I'm not comparing those two. But I'm saying that, remember, back in the day, like, that's with Peja. He was coming off an injury, and he didn't start. I think Hedo was starting for them in the playoffs. Yeah. So, like, it changes the way that you kind of come back. And like Brendan said, the game reps are everything. And about the injury, like, I think it's just a matter of that upward momentum combined with Desmond Bane, who – if you've seen Desmond Bane –
He's bigger in person somehow. His arms are shorter, but his muscles are bigger in person.
Yes, he likes the weight room.
Yeah. Ridiculous. He loves the weight room, and when that downward momentum, like, he's it's, what is it, unstoppable? I guess I'm
for the short arms.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have to say about short arms.
Well, Alan, I guess.
How you use it.
What's going on
here? God. We're not going to get Desmond Bane's, like, what, 6'4"? He's fine, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But us 5'9 guys, you know.
Well, how did we get here?
We're hitting the weights. Where?
What are we talking about?
I'm gonna continue, Frankie.
I'm just saying, like, I almost said the Batman line, an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object.
Yeah.
That, I don't know if Kevin Huerter's quite on that as Desmond Bane, but the upward motion with the downward, it did look bad if, like, you slow it down. It looks bad. Only when you factor in the fact that Desmond Bane is just a very strong, strong man.
You also have to be so strong to do what he did.
Yes.
To, like, tear somebody's shoulder out of its socket just off of sheer downward momentum.
It's tough. It is really tough. But, again, it just kind of, like, is speaking to the opportunity Keon Ellis is going to have. Like, I think a lot of people were hoping to see more of Keon. And obviously not in this fashion, of course. But he's going to get a look. I mean, Mike Brown said he's going to be starting until they decide otherwise. I mean, I think that he'll be their guy. It's worked very well. I think It was Dan Devine from Yahoo Sports, I think, said that the Kings are, I think, 53 outscored opponents by 53 points when he's on the floor, and that's the most in the league since that point, wow. Since the All-Star break, or January, I can't remember, but it's been a while, and Keon Ellis has been that difference maker on the defensive end, and we're going to see what he's made of.
Keon Ellis is a guy who, I mean, the numbers, they definitely don't lie, but the further along we get in this situation, I think some of them will come back down to earth. It's just a matter of what. And it's a matter of how realistic is his three-point shooting. I know you guys are in Stockton a decent bit, and he can shoot that thing. It doesn't matter where it's been. So hopefully that can continue, and we can continue to get the gravity that Kevin Huerter pulls. So we will discuss who can step out with Kevin Huerter out. Will it be by committee? We will discuss the Raptors as well. And immediately when we return, 12 Hannibal Buress tickets. Your chance to win them. 916-339-1140. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.